Diego. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Happy New Year's. It's New Year's Eve. I hope you are all having a wonderful, wonderful day here in the world of podcast land. I don't know. I'm in my basement. I'm having a fun time. But yeah, I hope you guys are all having a good time. And I'm going to do that thing today where people just do the top 10 sports moments of, well, the year, just because I can and because it's content. I love content. We need that content just because also we just need to do it because it's the end of the year. And so, yeah. So, well, first, what I last ate, it was a tortilla, not your regular tortilla like you would usually think it is. It's like a Spanish tortilla. It's really good. My brother Alex from Spain, staying with us for an exchange, he made it, and it was really good, as it always is. We were over at my grandma's the other day, yesterday, and it was really good. I really, really did enjoy it. But let's jump right into it, shall we? Okay, let's go. Last night, there was a high school basketball game, a Woods Cross game that I covered, as I usually do this time of year. Well, not this time of year, but as I will do. But really going into this, obviously I didn't have to pay it again, which made me really happy. It wasn't necessarily a top 10 matchup, but it was still a good matchup. And I didn't have to pay to get in, which was really nice. And it was a future Region 5 matchup. Regions are getting realigned this year, next year, I guess. And Clearfield's going in. And Woods Cross going into this game was 7-3. They're coming off a nice win against Ridgeline, who's now 7-2. And they're probably going to win 4A. That's a really good team. We didn't beat them as much as we thought we wanted to, but we still beat them very nicely. And I think that was a good bounce back win for us after a hard loss against Alta. And then Clearfield is 6-2, coming off of a win against 8-0 Taylorsville. Also a good bounce back win for them after a loss against Northridge, who will be playing later in the year because they're in our region. And so it's hard. This game wasn't hard for us. We destroyed them. We outscored them by a ton. The final score was 61-32, which is insane. But what I was looking for is how Jackson Smith was going to play coming off of a good game. He had, frankly, a good game against Ridgeline. He played well, but he just wasn't against Ridgeline. Yeah, he was really well. He was really good against Ridgeline. But I was looking forward to see if that was just because he was playing a 4A high school or if because he's actually back on track. And shooting splits for that game against Ridgeline were okay. He wasn't too great. He wasn't too bad, though. And really, we only played our 5 starters. He went 5 of 10. He shot 50%. He had 16 points. That's a good bounce back game for him. But going up against a better, so to say, Clearfield team, but not really better because Clearfield sucks. Again, we beat them 61-32. In the second quarter, they scored 4 points, and that wasn't until the final little bit. 18-4, 23-7. That's our second and third quarter comparisons right there. That is pretty good, I'd say. And I mean, like, just looking at it, we pulled away. We did what we were supposed to do, and we ended up winning. And frankly, we didn't necessarily need Jaxon Smith in this game. He shot a terrible 1 for 5 and 5 points. His only bucket was a three, and it was his first shot of the game he made. And so, I mean, I love Jaxon. Like, I know he can score in bunches. I mean, at the beginning of the year, he was averaging 21 points a game. I know he can score, but I feel like he's kind of in a cold stretch. And the fourth quarter was a really low scoring. It was like 9-6 us, I think. We scored 9. No, 9-6 them. But that was because it was a JV game. Then we put all of our JV players in. At one point, the whole rotation, the whole lineup on the floor for us was our JV starting lineup. So, I mean, oh no, is that something to be scared of? No, it's not. They're also going up against their varsity guys at one point. So I feel like we did all right to say in that sense. I was able to get a couple interviews. I was only able to grab two, but I think they were pretty good. They were with AB, Alex Bray, and Mason Bendinger. Take a quick listen to these.
I'm here with Alex Bray. Alex, nice game today. Defensively, I saw you were hustling. Was that something you want to always work on? Or is that something you came today specifically working on?
Of course. You know, I think defense always wins games. And after last game against Alta, and we played some good, decent D at Ridgeline, we just made a priority all week during practice. We were just focused on defense, not really that much offense. So defense wins games.
All right, nice win today, but next week you're going up against American Fork. According to Max Preps, 22nd in the nation. You guys gonna have a tough work. How are you gonna attack that?
Yeah, they're good all around. You know, they're pretty tall, they're pretty long. You know, they're athletes, and so we'll game plan. They're a good team, and we're gonna treat it like every other game, though. You know, even though they're a great team, we feel we're a great team too. So yeah, can't wait for that.
You and Mason alone could have beat this Clearfield team. Nice job.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Yes, sir.
I'm here with Mason. Mason, nice game. 25 points. Was this in the offense or was this you doing you?
Today came more throughout the flow of the offense. We played really good today. Good team ball today. Got up and down the floor a lot, ran, got a lot of easy transition buckets, and just played really well as a team and were able to come up with a good win today.
I saw you guys were running the press. Is that something you guys wanted to run specifically against Clearfield, or is this something you're trying to run for the rest of the year?
This is something we're trying to implement for the rest of the year, kind of make teams speed up and get some turnovers and be able to get a couple easy buckets out of that press. So
next week, you guys are up against American Fork. According to Max Preps, 22nd in the nation. How are you guys going to attack them?
I mean, we're just going to have to play really good team ball and come at them and play really aggressively on defense and come out on top and just play really hard and just play good team ball. That's the way we're gonna have our best chance and be hopefully go over and dominate the game.
So, all right, thank you, Mason.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, those were those two interviews I was able to get. I wish I would have got a little bit more, but I just didn't. I only got those two, and I feel like even though I only got those two, they were really good interviews. Thank you to both of them. But one thing I feel like Alex said was how defense wins games and how they went into that week focusing more on defense and less on offense, which kind of shows. I mean, I played with them, I ran with them a little bit, and Coach Margett's system is really, it's a defensive system. And yes, their offense is elite as they just scored 61 points, but if the defense is good, the offense will come. Because getting that stop on defense leads to offensive transition. It's kind of like with this whole Jazz thing that was a couple years ago was, do we really want to keep Rudy on the floor because he's an offensive liability, but his defense is amazing, and his defense led to offense. And in this, the press, really their defensive pressure, like they ran a full court press most of the game, and it worked really, really well. I don't quite have the correct total, but it was a lot of turnovers. They forced a lot of turnovers. And really, like within the first minute of the game, they press forced a turnover, and they started on a 7-0 run. The run ended at 7, and then Clearfield matched with a 10-0 run. We didn't call a timeout. We kind of just went with it. Jaxon Smith got a foul, splitted him, got a turnout, and then on the other end, drew a charge. Jaxon did. Mason ended it with an and one run. That run ended at 10-1. They regained the lead at the 101 point in the first, 11-10, and that's kind of when they never looked back. We hit a three, tough step back from Mason, and then they just hit a layup, and that was 14-12 at the end. Defense looked a little weak. I mean, allowing 12 points in a quarter, I don't know what's that, but like in high school basketball, especially with us though, that's kind of a lot for us, and that's a lot for Clearfield, honestly. They're not necessarily a great offensive team. They're not a great team. I'm going to say it straight up. They're not good, but they're not that bad. They're okay, but really, 12 points in that quarter, I mean, I thought that was a lot, and it ended up being a lot considering, on the year, Clearfield averaged 14 points. Okay, cool. In the first quarter, we held them to 12. So defensively, that was really good. But then just throughout the rest of their quarters, they seem to slow down, except in the fourth where they go back to 15. Second and third, they're averaging 9 points. We held them to 4 and 7. Oh, and 9 in the fourth where they average 15. That's where they usually win most of their games, is they have a big fourth quarter. But Woods Cross were just dominant all quarters except the second quarter, where they average 13, but they only average 18 and 15 again. But I feel like the offense as well was working pretty well along with this press. Granted, we got a lot of turnovers off the press, so a lot of our buckets were fast break and in transition, but still, our offense when we had to be in the half court was really good. I saw them when I could hear them call out the plays. I saw them execute it pretty well. I saw if people had a lane, they'd take it. And passing. We had some really good passing going on. Really, in this first, second quarter, like the first couple bit of my notes is just all on AB being defensively amazing. I mean, he doesn't average a lot of points on the year, yeah, but he still is great in terms of on his defense. I mean, he doesn't average a whole lot, frankly. And it's honestly pretty cool to watch. I mean, this year he's averaging 8 points a game, which is up last year from his 2 points a game, which is good. But, I mean, he's averaging more points, which is good. Good to see. But he scored 10, which I believe is a season high. And we didn't need him to score today. I mean, he and Mason alone could have beat this team. They combined for 35 points. Does that say to the quality of our players, or does that say to just how bad this Clearfield team is? And as I said in the interviews, they're going up against a really, 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 really good, really, really good American Fork team, 22nd in the nation. When I looked at that, I'm like, is that right? And I looked it up again, and I went to see all the whole rankings. And yeah, they are 22nd in the nation. They're not even first in 6A, but yet they're 22nd in the nation, and first in 6A isn't even on the list, like in the top 20 with them. And so I hope we're going to win. I'm not expecting us to win, but if we win, we win. That's great. But we should win anyways. Like it says here, they're fourth in the nation. Corner Canyon is number one. And what are they in the nation? They're not even ranked in the nation. Like, that's insane. I don't even know how that even works. You got American Fork versus who's 22nd in the nation. That's insane. I've emphasized that a lot, but they're 22nd in the nation. Woods Cross has a very tough task. And I feel like, honestly, that's a winnable game, but they remind me of Alta. I've looked at a little bit of film and tape. They are a lot like Alta, except they're just 6A, and they're what Alta does good, they do better. And what I mean by that is Alta's really long. They were in the passing lanes a lot, turnover force. Good defense, really long on offense, too. Can get to wherever they want. American Fork is that on steroids. They will be really long. They'll be in the passing lanes. They're going to make it really tough on us offensively to score. And defensively, it'll be hard for us to get stops because they're just so long. They can get to where they want really fast because they've got those long strides. But I feel like if we clean up our passing and lock in defensively again, we'll be okay. And if our press works like it has been, then that'll be great. I mean, American's Fork, two losses on the year. They started 0-2. The first one was against Etwinda, who I believe is, like, top in the nation. Like, Etwinda, California. They're top in the nation, I think. And it's insane. Oh, they're 18th. Sorry, I got it wrong. Yeah, Etwinda's 8th in the nation. And then we lost, and then they lost to Curtis, which I think that's a Utah, it's not a Utah school. They're from Washington. And they're 2nd. Nope. That's their standings. Sorry. And they are, sorry, my computer's slow. They're 2nd in the state of Washington. So they lost to the 18th ranked team in the nation. And then they lost to the 2nd ranked team in Washington. And they lost to the Washington team by 4. And the 2nd one in the nation, Etwinda, I don't know if I'm saying that right, they lost to them pretty bad. They lost to them by 12. It wasn't a good loss. It was a pretty bad loss. But then they've just won out. Like, they haven't done anything wrong from there on out. They beat Fremont, who's a really good team. They beat Liberty, who's a good team. Barely beat Liberty, but still beat Liberty. They beat Viewmont, who we're going to beat this year. And then they beat Olympus pretty soundly, who beat us pretty soundly. They lost to Wasatch Academy. Wasatch Academy is top in the nation, and they happen to go here in the state of Utah. American Fork, they beat Sunrise Christian Academy. That's a good team, but they beat them by 1. That's pretty tough. But they're coming up now against a Woods Cross team, who I feel is a good team. And I wouldn't be too surprised if we pulled off the upset. But if we, But if we do, then I'll be really happy. But if not, I'm not expecting it. I'm expecting us to fall to 8-4. I mean, that's not going to look too good, but we had a really tough preseason. We lost a couple games we shouldn't have. We won a bunch of games. But yeah, that's probably enough about Woods Cross. Let's jump into my top 10 list. Yeah. Coming in at number 10, my 10 favorite sports moments of the year. Yay. Number 10, Antonio Brown walking off the field in the middle of his game on the second day of January. Yeah, Antonio, not a good look for you, but that was still pretty funny to watch as he did that. Number 9. Georgia beating Alabama in the national championship game. That made me really happy because I really hate Alabama. I mean, number 7. I saw this and this made me really fun. This was really fun. On the second day of the second month of the year 2022, Grizzlies' 2nd year two guard, Desmond Bane, shot 22.2% of the field with 2 fouls, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, 2 steals, wearing the number 22. That's pretty cool. I like that. That was number 7. Number 8 was just the Winter Olympics in general. I kind of forgot that they happened until I was looking over it. And yeah, we did all right. That's just it. Just the Winter Olympics. Number 6, Steph Curry's All-Star Game performance. He hit lots of threes with 50 points. That's pretty good. Number 5. We're getting there. We're getting really close. I don't know. My opinion, it's LeBron James's triple 10,000 double, I think is what he had. Let me find it. Triple 10,000 tuple. Yeah. LeBron James became the first player in NBA history with 10,000 points, and the assists and rebounds, and the only player to come close was Jason Kidd, who fell 1,275 rebounds short. LeBron James is the first player with the triple 10,000 tuple. Good job, Bron. Number 5, I believe it's a 5. You might get 11, I don't know. But 5, St. Pete's in the March Madness run, beating Kentucky, making it all the way to the Elite 8 as a 15 seed, beating 3 seed Purdue, 2 seed Kentucky, and 7 seed Murray State to eventually sadly lose to Arkansas, but that's okay because they still made it to the Elite 8 as a 15 seed, and this is why we love it. Number 4, Coach K's retirement. They made it really far, and it was really fun to watch, but yet they still didn't. They made it all the way to the Final Four after losing to UNC in the Final Four. Sad day, but still really fun. Number 3. Number 3, Miguel Cabrera's swing to send him into the 3,000 hit club. Very, very good. Number 2. Going with that playoff game between Chiefs and Bills. Overtime, 13 seconds left. Mahomes leads him into field goal range. That's insane. I don't understand how that happened, but it still did happen. And finally, my number 1 sports moment of the year. Well, it's a tie for number 1. This is probably the most biased thing you'll have ever heard on any sports podcast, but I do not care at all. Tied for first, drum roll, Utah beating USC the first time in the Coliseum at home. I was watching that from my sick couch. I was on my couch and I was sick and I was watching. I was a very happy man. And number 1, tied for number 1. Utah beating USC in the Pac-12 championship game. Again, really biased, but I frankly do not care what you have to say because this is my podcast. If you want to make your own list, make your own podcast. It'd be pretty cool. But, those are my top 10. Some honorable mentions is when that one pitcher for North Texas tackled the home run hitter on his way round third. That was pretty cool. The Rams winning the Super Bowl. That one was pretty cool. Greg Popovich's big win, his 1,336th win, the most by any coach ever. That's pretty cool. The Winter Olympics, I already said. The shoe game this year in the NFL was really, really cool. We had one for Betty White and John Madden. Those are some of the coolest ones. I preferably like the Betty White. Just like a Betty White and look up Stephon Diggs, Betty White cleats. Those are pretty, really, really cool. The Tampa Rams playoff game, that was really cool. 24 unanswered points by Tampa. And then with like 30 seconds, the Rams scored with a field goal by Matt Gay, former Ute, mind you. And then the playoff game between San Francisco and in Lambeau against the 49ers, the reigning. Robbie Gould made a last second 45-yard field goal. And then, of course, the Bengals kicker known as Evan McPherson, Money Mac. Very good. Very, very, very good. He hit two game-winning field goals in the playoffs. One against the Titans, the number one seed. I think they're a 7 seed, I think the Bengals were. Against the number one seed. And then against the Kansas City Chiefs. Everyone's picked to win the Super Bowl. He hit it in overtime, mind you. So, good job, Evan McPherson. Yeah, that's about it for my top 10 sports moments of the year. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's just make the rounds real quick. NFL Vikings are playing tomorrow against the Packers, and they are not favored, which mind boggles me, considering how the Vikings are very good and much better than the Packers. The Vikings are 12-3 against the 7-8 Packers and are not favored. Granted, it's at home in Lambeau, but still, when will they favor us? Please, I just want that. Yeah, that's the NFL. I think we've already got a playoff spot, but I just really want to beat the Packers. And Justin Jefferson, he might get over 2,000 yards. This right now, he's up to 1756. So, I mean, it'd be hard to be like 244. 244 yards, I think, is what he needs. Don't do math on the live. Don't do that. But I did it anyways. 244 to go over to 2K, first receiver in NFL history to do that. I don't know. I hope he does it. But if he doesn't, I'll be sad. Jazz play the Heat tonight. Jazz lost last night. Couldn't hit a game winner. Jazz are struggling. We kind of suck, but that's okay. And then college football, Utah versus Penn State, baby. Rose Bowl, Monday. Starts at 3, but I'm not going to be starting at 3. I'm going to be starting at noon. I know a couple people who are down there right now. Right now, the line, I think, is Utah minus 1.5. It's shifted from 2.5 to 1.5, a whole point. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just acting fancy. But, no, I feel like Utah... My pick is Utah to win it just because Utah is really good. I think we're going to win, frankly. I hope we win. But I know we're going to win. College football playoff tonight at 2 p.m. Mountain. So that's 4 p.m. Eastern. TCU versus Michigan. Michigan favored by 7.5. You can watch this on ESPN. 6 p.m. Mountain. 8 p.m. Eastern, Ohio State, Georgia. Georgia favored by 5.5. That number shifted from 7.5 to 5.5, 2 points. My pick, I want TCU and Ohio State to win just because I really hate Georgia, but I also really hate Ohio State, and I really hate Michigan, but I hate Georgia more than I hate Ohio State, which shouldn't be the case because Ohio State beat us last year, so I'm changing my pick to Georgia and TCU because I really hate Ohio State. Now, I just realized that, but that's okay. Yeah, that's kind of just a speed run through everything. Last night, Tennessee won the Orange Bowl, And yeah, thank you all for listening. I'll catch you all next week in 2023. Peace.